Hi, this is Oyana from Melenas, speaking to you from Pamplona in the north of Spain. We want to present you Días Raros, our second album, out in Trouble in Mind Records. And thank you for listening. We hope you like it. Un abrazo. Bye.
This is Will's Band of the Week for July 26th, 2020. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Jeremiah from the Santa Fe Bureau.
Hey, everybody. Happy COVID.
And Reese from the Portland Sub-Bureau.
Hello.
I didn't know what else to call it. I mean, it's not really an official bureau, but there you are. Also, last week we were talking about having a name for each studio. So we have Fourth Bedroom Studios here. We've got Chris and Ron Swanson's studios. Nicholas, I decided his studio would be Backyard Studios because of all the backyard barbecues he does with the indie rockers. But you guys don't have studio names at this point, so might want to work on that.
Yeah.
Boy, I think I've got a. I have a good name for Reese's studio.
What's my studio name?
Juniper Studios.
After my cat? That'd be good. I was thinking
that would be
like
really good.
Antifa Terrorist Studio or something like that.
I know. I'm surprised you actually made it on the show. I was a little worried you might have got pulled into some unmarked van this week or something, but you're here.
My mom has been very adamant. She's afraid of me going outside. So I've been able to go to the protests a couple times. But luckily, I haven't been kidnapped yet. So that's good.
Yeah, you haven't been whisked away by federal agents wearing camouflage. Have you seen the federal agents?
Locations.
Right. Have you seen them, Reese?
I haven't. I don't know. I was looking at. There's a couple groups that all look the same. There's like Federales, and then there's like, I think Boogaloo Boys is another one, and then there's Proud Boys, which are both like. I mean, I'm just going to call them terrorist groups. and they all sort of look the same. And I haven't really, I don't see a lot because I spend most of my time inside, but I hear a lot of stuff. So I've heard them bustling around downtown Portland, but I haven't seen them yet.
Yeah, I guess I.
At least in person.
I think I would probably recommend against going over to the federal courthouse at midnight. I mean, it would be interesting, but probably, you know. Well, I'm your dad, in case anybody didn't make that connection. So I'm going to say stay out of harm's way.
There's other dads there. They'll protect me. They have leaf blowers, and they're blowing the
blowing
gas
the tear
back
gas back.
At the federal building.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And then they have
that.
The whole line of moms, right? That's pretty awesome. Like,
yeah.
All these, like, suburban moms showed up and, like, form like a barrier between the protesters and the police.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then wasn't there a naked woman too?
Yeah. There's everyone's all out. It's been going on.
Literally all out.
For 50 plus days now. So,
yeah.
I don't know. There's definitely more. I feel like they're sort of steering away from the actual important subject matters like the Black Lives Matter movement, and now we're getting dads with leaf blowers and naked women. Which
I'm glad they
support it, but you know.
Yeah, I was reading that too. That some people were saying that it's kind of getting distracted from the original message. So,
right.
Yeah.
That's with anything though. So
yeah.
Yeah, boy, 2020, what a doozy!
It's a crazy year. It's only a little over half over. So we all want it to be
it's
over.
It's like a decade.
In, of course, just changing the number to 2021 won't magically make everything better, but we're all hopeful that it will be, right?
I'm pretty sure that's how it works, actually.
Oh, okay.
I hope so.
That's good.
Or maybe, you know, in Craig's world, that's like the new decade, so maybe that will shift.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, by Craig's numerology or whatever you call it, the decade doesn't start until next year. he's crazy, but that's okay. So let's do a feature. What do you think?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's time for the
mailbag.
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 We haven't done a mailbag feature in a while, and so we're definitely due for one. And we have a perfect application for the mailbag this week. A guy named Micah McCaw, he's an indie rocker, sent us a link to his album and asked us if we'd like to listen to it and maybe talk about it. And of course, I couldn't get it into a full slot because it's just there's so much that people are listening to, and you know, we probably can't do it justice for like a full review. But I thought we ought to definitely. Give him the mailbag credit. So thanks, Micah, for sending the link and the reference to your album. And so I'm going to play a track from the album. But before I do that, I wanted to mention he's from a town called Medford, Oregon. Reese, do you know anything about Medford, Oregon?
I know the namesake, but I can't say I know anything else.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if I had ever heard of it. So I looked it up. It's in the south part of the state. It's almost to California, not too far from the California border. It's about 80,000 people. How about you, Jeremiah? Did you know Medford?
Yeah, because I grew up in Oregon. So the let's see, it's kind of been known in the past. It was more known as a kind of a conservative place, but I think maybe it's been slowly shifting. Ashland's kind of like the hippie town in the south, and then Medford's kind of the Republican town. It's a little bigger. That's where the airport is. Our son lives like 10 miles outside of Medford, something like that. It's pretty down there, definitely. Hard to get to just with the flights because it's a small airport. So you got to drive like 4 hours to like Portland or like 4 hours to Sacramento if you want to get cheaper flights. But
yeah, I looked it's not really
a cool place.
It's not close to any big cities, really.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
But it looked nice. It's fun to look on Google Maps and get some pictures of the town. And it was neat to see. So Micah McCaw's album is called Imbalances. So here's track 3 called Nervous Tick.
Smoke is filling the valley.
That's Micah McCaw. Check it out.
Yeah, good stuff.
The album is called Imbalances.
Nice. Is it on Bandcamp yet, or do you think? Or?
It is.
Awesome. Okay.
Bandcamp.
Yeah, that's streaming great services. That he reached out to us.
Yep. Thanks, Micah. Very cool. All right, we have so much music this week, and it's pretty exciting, I think.
Definitely. Some good stuff.
So, well, when there's a new Proto-Martyr album, it has to get top billing, I think. So, at least according to me. So, yes, Proto-Martyr has a new album, and it's called Ultimate Success Today. And their last album, Relatives in Descent, was my number one album of the decade. So that means they are set up for an impossible task of following that up, right?
How can you be better than 10, right?
They got to turn the mic up to 11, or the amp up to 11, so to speak.
That's the only way they can live up to the standard, yeah.
Exactly. And also, well, you're in good company, too, because I've just recently read that Iggy Pop called them the best band we've got in America right now.
Yeah, so they've got some prominent fans. A lot more prominent than me, that's for sure.
The Iggy Pop seal of approval.
Yeah.
Remember, you imagine Joe Casey out there with, like, bare-chested, you know, writhing around on stage.
As much as I love Joe Casey, I don't need to see him bare-chested. He can leave that suit jacket that he wears, leave it on.
Trench coat.
Right. So this is their fifth album. The first four have been really great, and this one, it's almost like I was almost afraid to listen to it because I set too high of a standard for myself. But I think this is a I actually think it's a little more difficult. You know, there's a phrase we like to use, compliments of that was authored by Nicholas, where he says challenging but not confrontational. And I think I think this album is actually a little bit confrontational. You know, you might even feel that way about some of the other Proto-Martyr stuff. So it took me a longer time to kind of, I had to decide how much I love the band, and I'm gonna really kind of make an investment in the album, and it definitely paid off. So we can talk some more about it. Why don't we start by playing a track? I'm gonna pick number 6, Michigan Hammers. Proto-Martyr. I thought about starting halfway through and playing the second half of that song because it takes an interesting turn. A lot of the songs take interesting turns, and I found myself, like, the third time I'd be listening to a song, I'd hear something that I didn't notice before. You know, it's thick, right? There's a lot there.
Yeah.
Reese, you've been also kind of a longtime Porta Martyr fan. What were your impressions?
Oh, I definitely agree. It's more difficult to listen to than the other albums. I feel like it's very accurate to the times, I guess. It's just stress-inducing, but in a good way. I don't know. Definitely the other two albums we have on the docket were easier listens. And not to say I don't like Porta Martyr, but this album was different.
It's really dark, isn't it? You know, and the lyrics are dark, and but it's I can't disagree with anything you're saying.
I like the use of brass they got going in here. They have some good I don't know brass instruments, but I could hear it in this, and I really like how they use that. So that was a fun addition that's a bit different from their previous works.
Yeah, they colored it in with some stuff. They had this guy playing, I think it might be wind instruments, right? Like clarinet and flute or something. I'm not even sure of what it all is, but they just had this guy who's kind of a free jazz artist guy just come in, and they just said, "You want to add some stuff to this song?" And he just kind of freelanced it, and it turned out pretty well. So I've listened to or read probably three interviews with Joe Casey in the last couple of weeks, and so I've read enough that I'm starting to repeat things, you know, that he tells different interviewers. But he has a lot of interesting things to say about it. He says that one of the reasons that it's, you know, so dark is that he was feeling sick for like 2 or 3 months. He just wasn't feeling well at all, and then so he was just in this kind of dark period personally, and he said he was afraid to go to the doctor because he's got like a trauma back from when his dad was sick and dying and a bad experience with doctors, and so the whole thing was kind of you know, how he was feeling at the time. And but then the other interesting trivia about this is that when the COVID thing hit in the middle of March, they were just starting a tour. And Kelly Deal from the Breeders was going on the tour with them, doing like backing vocals and also playing guitar. And they played one gig with her, and they were on their way to the second gig, and then everything got called off. So it's quite a bummer, really.
Just imagine being at that show, at that gig. It would be world renowned,
right?
Now.
Like you've seen a legendary gig, right? So. Yeah. So anyway, hopefully they can get everything kind of picked back up. So another thing about this album is that Joe Casey keeps saying that he doesn't know whether this could be their last album. He doesn't really want it to be their last album, but he kind of feels like it's the fifth in a series, and that if they make more albums, they might sort of turn in a different direction, but he's not sure what that would be. So so there is like this whole uncertainty surrounding everything, you know, including the band. So, all right, I've talked enough for now. Reese, do you have a song to pick?
I like track 4, The Aphorist. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, I think so. Yep. Let's go with it. I like that one too.
We're all mowing esoteric patterns in the grass, a fast and fading echo. An Eskimo who carved his lines upon the desert floor and hopes to catch the eye of some forgotten god. Do the light of passing thunderbird or in patronage of a sky jaguar near the stars.
That's a good one. It kind of illustrates an interesting thing about the album, and that is some of their more, like I said, confrontational type of sound, but also Joe Casey does a little bit more sort of traditional singing on this album than he does on some of the others, I think.
Right, yeah, and there's also, is this the first one with another singer or a female singer?
Yeah, it is.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple tracks with like that June 21st, I think. And
right.
Yeah, it's interesting with the wind instruments and another voice. I actually really like this album a lot. I mean, some of it's a little, you know, if you're, it can either put you in a mood or you have to be in a mood, maybe.
Right.
And then some of the lyrics are interesting too. I was reading some of the lyrics and, you know, that in that song Processed by the Boys, you know, one line's, a foreign disease washed up upon the beach, or a riot in the streets, right? It's like pretty apropos for what's going on right now. Like,
he was predicting 2020 when he wrote that in 2019. He was asked about that in an interview too, and he said, "Well, it's really not that hard if you want to predict the future, just say what happened in the past and it's probably going to be repeated." That's what he said.
Right.
But his lyrics are definitely, you know, you can delve into them and study them, and they're great just in so many ways. So
here is a fun fact I found this morning, that the bass player and the drummer were playing together in a different band called Butt Babies. That's kind of the best band name I've
right.
heard.
Yep.
Yeah, it's great.
And then Joe started singing or talking with them, or what do you call it? Talking, singing, whatever. And then they kind of morphed into Proto Martyr. But what a character Joe is. Oh my goodness. I've only seen them once, but he had such an old school rocker attitude. You know, he like came out in the trench coat and started berating the sound techs and telling, complaining about stuff, and then pulling beers out. Like, he must have had like 9 beers stashed in his coat or something. Like, he just drink them and then like throw them on the ground, like cans of crappy beer. And I'm just like, how can he like not have to go pee? Like, he's had like 7 beers. Like, so you have like a urine collector bag in that coat? Like, what the hell? Like, and then, you know, it's so funny because nowadays it seems like rock bands are, everyone is so nice and polite, and it was, you know, he's kind of the throwback to the old school rude boy kind of hard rocker that I hadn't seen in a while. And maybe it was just that show and he was in a bad mood. I don't know, but it was interesting. Good show. Very fun live.
Yeah, I think I've seen them 4 times maybe.
Nice.
Loved them every time. Reese, you've seen them at least a couple times, right?
Yeah, I think I've seen them as many times, probably once or twice less than you. I want to say I've seen them at least 3 times, mm-hmm. But I totally agree with Jeremiah. Joe Casey's very performative, I feel like, for a musician.
Yeah.
And it's very very Midwestern of him to just be a little rude, but in a fun way, in an acceptable way, and slamming back cold ones.
I can go overboard all day with my love of Proto Martyr, but I think Joe Casey is probably my favorite front man in rock music. I just love the way he'll turn sideways, like not look at the audience, you know, and I don't know. Just his whole persona is just really great, and he pulls it off without it seeming to be totally an act. You know, it's an attitude, but it's not completely fake. You know, there's a fine line there, I guess.
Right. It's almost like, I can't believe all of you people don't see all this stuff that I'm talking about, like, all the time. You know what I mean?
Right.
He's like put off by everyone's ignorance.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, Jeremiah, your turn for a pick.
Yeah, gosh, there's a lot on there. I liked number 9, Bridge and Crown.
can come. Because when old father died, there's a calm in the atmosphere. Only four types of patience here. Exacting, philosophical, indifferent, hysterical. We seek relief, the common complaint, gathering complete, of heaven and talio.
Yep. I heard an interview where Joe Casey said that's one of his favorite songs on the album. And the lyrics about the you know, the dental reference, he's got either a relative or a good friend who's a dentist who told him about the four types of patients. They said there are only four types of patients: exacting, philosophical, indifferent, or hysterical. And then it goes into this totally abstract. I was just reading along with the lyrics.
Oh god. What would be exacting? Like, how would you be an exacting patient?
Yeah, exacting patient. I don't know. Maybe he's, yeah.
You really want to know, like,
yeah, analytical detail. Maybe? Yeah, I don't know. And then that song builds too into like a crescendo, like a lot of them do. So,
right. Yeah. That's what I think, why I picked that, is because later it's this crazy jam. Yeah, it's a pretty awesome song. But we don't have time for it. We got to leave some good stuff for people to go on Bandcamp and buy the album and listen to the end of that song.
Yep, they should do that, definitely. Yep, I got to check the merch because I'm to be without a Protomartyr shirt is kind of a bad state for me to be in. So I'm gonna have to check it out.
Definitely.
All right, did we do it justice?
I think so. I'm completely depressed now, so I think it worked.
That's good.
All right. Go from depressed to a band called Dead, right?
Right, yeah. It's just,
but it's a D-E-H-D, so I don't even know. Do you know what that means, Reese?
I think it means dead. I don't know if it has a secondary meaning.
Yeah, they just decided to spell it in a styling kind of way. So this is the second album of theirs that I've heard. And Reese told me, I think I read about them, and Reese told me about them like at about the same time when their last album came out, and I really liked it. And now there's a new one, Flower of Devotion, and they're from Chicago, Midwesterners. We have a Midwest theme so far.
Yeah, that's like it's keeping it in your area up there. This is really. I liked it. I mean, it took me a couple, like the first listen, I was like, do I like this or not? I mean, definitely they're talented, but what, it's got kind of this 70s vibe, I don't know, mix of kind of almost, there's like kind of sounds of almost like Whitney or some other Chicago stuff, like Whitney and La 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 La, but mixed with like X or in a country twang or something.
it's sometimes hard to describe what the style is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So... Definitely. Reese, you were a big fan of the last album. So how do you think this one compares?
I think this one's I really love the last one, and I think this one's even better. I haven't listened to it enough though. I need to listen to it more. I really love how singing has evolved. It reminds me of like Jasmine Burke from Weaves. And it's just it's definitely a happier album than the Protomartyr one, and it's just it's a nice break from everything. It's been a positive outcome of quarantine is having more time to listen to this album.
Yeah, it's I think it's kind of more, I hate to use the word sophisticated because that makes it sound bad, but it's like it's got a level of I don't know if it's complexity or whatever that's a step above the last one. Last one sounded really minimalist to me, and this one has a wider, warmer sound to it. Tons of reverb. You know, if you like reverb on the guitar, man, oh man, cranked. And the songwriting is great. Just so many catchy hooks on this album. You know, I was just trying to pick a track, and there are like six or seven that I could have picked to highlight. And let's turn it back to Reese. Do you want to pick a track?
Let's do track 7, Flood.
That's Dead. The album is Flower of Devotion. Yep. One of the moody atmospheric tracks. There are quite a few of those. There's some that are a little more, pick it up a little bit more. The theme of it all, or you know, the thing that runs through all of it is that reverb-y guitar. But the styles vary a little bit.
Yeah, it's interesting. They kind of like, I mean, the vocals are pretty strong chunk of the music too, you know, it's the reverb and then their kind of vocals back and forth, and sometimes it almost sounds, you know, a couple songs reminded me of almost like the Cocteau Twins or something too, so it's kind of all over, it's like genre bending, but really good lyrics, it seems like, you know, a lot about relationships and it's interesting. She has kind of like a older sounding voice, doesn't she? I mean, she seems
sort of
young. She looks young, but it sounds like she could be in her 40s with her voice or something.
Well, her voice is kind of deep, so that when the guy sings, then sometimes I don't know which one of them is singing actually. But then when the guy sings, and it's definitely lower, like, okay, that's him now, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I guess they're really active. I was reading they're really active with social justice projects, and lately they were even offering, they weren't using their tour bus, so they were letting the Black Lives Matter use their tour bus to get people to the protests and stuff. So, yeah, it seems like a cool trio, right? What, a couple of them are from Louisiana, right, or New Orleans or something originally? Or no, Atlanta, I guess. And then, but then up in Chicago now. So, yeah, it's a thumbs up for me, that's for sure.
How about a track, Jeremiah?
Let's see. Gosh. Maybe number two, Loner.
Yeah, super catchy. And now,
yeah, that's a good one.
You guys,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You guys have now played two tracks that weren't even in my top five. That's just saying how strong the album is.
Yeah, that one's. Thank you for picking that one, Jeremiah, because I really love how they handle lyrics in that one. That one's really, really good.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I usually don't really watch videos much, but I for some reason watched that video and it's pretty amazing. It's kind of like a small movie. It's like 12 minutes long.
There's
Oh, really?
It's pretty crazy.
Fun anecdote is I think one of them has the lead singer getting like, I think this is for their last album, but there's a music video of them getting flowers tattooed all over their body. As in the music video, that's very very punk, but then also I don't know, I guess reminiscent of the tattoo scene, the alt tattoo scene that I desperately want to be a part of.
She's got a bunch of them.
Yeah, so you got another draw to this band then, Reese.
Yeah, I'm really a sucker for them.
Thanks.
Yeah, I like. I was down to two tracks that I was trying to decide on which one to play. So I might have to play little blips of both of them if you guys will indulge me.
Yeah, let's do it.
This is I think I wanted to say generally that the second half is just as good as the first half. It just keeps on going with catchy track after catchy track. So this one's number 9, Nobody. How can you not like that? That is catchy pop track.
Yeah, that was my second pick.
Okay, so I cut that a little shorter so I could not feel as bad about picking an extra track.
Let's see if it's my third pick, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Number 11, Moonlight. That one, I guess, is kind of dream poppy, right?
Yeah, they have some songs more like that that are kind of, more kind of expansive and kind of dreamy. You know, my third pick wasn't that one, but that's a good one.
How about?
But I was going to say number 12, Apart. That's real spacey like that, too, kind of really.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one, too. And I thought maybe number 3, Haha. That's cool, too. There's so many good ones. So
yeah, it's a great album.
Yeah. Really good one. It would pain me to say that any album is better than any Proto Martyr album, but I really like this album.
Right. Yeah, don't admit you can't.
Yeah. All right.
It's really cool too that they're like, because I think that two of them were in a relationship together, and then they aren't anymore, but they're still kind of emotionally mature enough to be in a band together and to write songs about kind of relationships, even like that's pretty impressive.
It really is. Yeah. Yep.
Good
All right.
Stuff.
Good. Dead from Chicago. Check them out. Unless you didn't like what we just played, then don't bother. Right.
Don't check it out. But still go buy merch off their site, even if you don't like their music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They must have some cool merch, you'd think, just with their artistic tendencies, right? Do you know anything about that, Reese?
Yeah, I think they have some. I mean, I don't have any of their merch, but yeah. I love their album art, and I've seen their shirts. It's great stuff. If you hate their music, then buy their merch, I guess.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Then you'll feel daring to dare to wear something from a band you don't like.
It's a good conversation starter. If someone's "Oh, I love your shirt," you can be like, "Well, I hate the band."
Right.
But amazing artists.
It's like the Onion had a shirt that says, "Your favorite band sucks," right? Isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh God. All right.
Reese is too young to remember the Disco Sucks shirts, right?
Oh, right. Oh, my God.
That was a huge thing
so,
in the 80s.
We were so passionate about Disco Sucks because it was like this battle between rock and roll and disco. I don't know. Do you know anything about the history of that, Reese?
I know of it. I've heard Disco Sucks. I wonder what like a 2020 comparison would be. I don't know a music genre that has the same like hatred.
And it was weird because it was all the rock fans and, you know, mostly like classic rock fans. When disco got really popular, it was like they just they just hated it, and they're like, "This music sucks," and then they get mad. You know,
I think we need to have more disco albums on Will's Band of the Week.
I love disco.
Oh yeah,
yes,
I mean, it's
Reese,
really.
Let's do a disco episode. That'd be so fun.
I mean, I was pretty much in the disco, mostly kind of, I guess, mostly in the disco sucks camp back then. But the more time goes by, the more I kind of like a lot of it, and you know, honestly, a lot of it's better than some of the shitty metal back then. So it's just funny because there isn't anything really comparable these days, right? Where like a style of music, like you get mad and hate it.
Besides, so like what, like top 40 country or?
Yeah, I mean, maybe, but maybe it's not popular enough to have the backlash. Maybe that was the thing, is that it just got so popular with the whole Saturday Night Fever and all that stuff that, and you didn't have as many resources to listen to music, right? So it was like what was getting played on the radio, you were going to hear it whether you wanted to or not if you were listening to like any kind of popular music radio station. So maybe that was part of it too. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I wonder how much too it was like disco was like more like soft or kind of feminine, and how much like kind of sexism or homophobia was involved in
right.
that whole thing, you know?
I think probably was part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. These guys jumping around in sequined, like, you know,
right.
You know, body suits, you know, and then people in 38 Special were like,
right. Right.
Disco sucks.
That's right. Exactly. Yep. All right. We are now on to, our third artist of the week, and what a fun one, Jeremiah. You mentioned this, and I had listened to it a little bit, I don't know. I didn't. No one else on the podcast was really talking about it, so I was like, oh, I don't know if we'll get around to this one or not. But then you kind of revived it, and it's like it's a good, fun album. Also, this is going to break the Midwest streak for this week, but but one thing that continues is there's a lot of reverb on this album too. Not quite the surfy. I would say they sound like maybe like Vivian Girls a little bit, mm-hmm. And maybe I also thought that there's a track I'm going to pick that sounds like the band Lush, which was sort of a shoegaze pop band from like 1990. Mm-hmm. So unless you guys steal my pick, maybe you will. We're talking about Malenas from Spain, the north of Spain. Pamplona, was that the city?
Yeah, Pamplona, I think.
Oh, Pamplona.
It's like south.
Yeah, I said it wrong.
It's southeast of Bilbao. About like it looks like maybe 45 minutes or something. Looks like a beautiful area. Gosh, that's the kind of wetter part of Spain up there. So it's kind of like the North Pacific Northwest.
Oh, interesting. I don't know my Spain geography very well, but I did look at a map. So, yeah, fun. And thanks to Jeremiah, they sent us that little promo clip that we played at the beginning. Very cool. So, Jeremiah, you kind of revived this, so... what are your impressions?
I think someone mentioned it on, I can't remember if it was Nick or Craig, mentioned it like maybe a month ago, and then I hadn't really listened to it yet. And then Jason chimed in saying that he liked it a lot. And so last couple of weeks, I kind of returned to it, and I really like it. I mean, they're really, I think, very talented and just awesome to see super passionate, talented women, you know, strong women group. So, and I don't know what I couldn't, I was like looking, I actually searched Malena and, so be careful. Malena is actually like some like intestinal disorder. So I'm like, I don't know if they're named after that. It's like a blood disorder. So I'm like, is it like that? Or there must be something like in Spanish, it's different or something. So, or they kind of all took that last name on their videos. They're like Maria Malenas or Laura Malenas. So, I think just really fun, huh? Kind of like lo-fi vibe, like reverb-y. It's got some organ, sometimes the echoey drums a little bit. Or what do you think, Reese?
I was just gonna add, I really love the organ in it. It adds like such an interesting sound to the whole album, and it's just so much more. It's very cheerful, and
I think it's a really great album. They described themselves in on the website fortherabbit.net that we're a band you should check if you like the reverb, jangly guitars, bold bass and drums, magic keyboards, and a bit of fuzz, a little bit of kraut, and plenty of harmonies of four dreamy ladies that absolutely love pop. That's how they describe themselves. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I fully support magic keyboards and fuzz. Yeah,
exactly. Oh my God, have fun.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good combination. Who wants to take the first pick?
Go ahead, Reese. Yeah, what do you think?
Oh, I'll do track 5, El Tempio Ha Pasado.
Yeah, definitely a featured organ in that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They gave the, very nice. The drummer a little break on that one so she can rest. I'm going to butcher the Spanish, but Dias Raros is the name of the album. And it's all in Spanish. They don't mess around singing in English to try to please the English-speaking fans.
Right, yeah. They just go straight through, which yep. is it's kind of fun, yeah. And then you know, you can kind of look at some of the lyrics or translate them or something, but, you know, it's, I mean, the name of the album is what, like Rare Days, you know, and that seems to be kind of a theme throughout a lot of it. You know, about how things don't really last kind of, and that, you know, kind of the life is full of changes, you know, and that things can, like the track I think I'm going to pick is, you know, it's called Tres Segundos, and it's like that, where it's like, even the video is like that, where it's like they're in one scene or you know, and then it totally changes and they're in something totally different and totally different. So it's like changing all the time and how just life can do that to you sometimes. So yeah, I guess that's my pick, number 7, Tres Segundos.
Oh,
Yep, definitely a fun one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And that one too, actually, it's funny. I actually watched that video and it's really good. You should check it out. So super fun. They look like they have a lot of fun. So that's in general, I'd love to see them live, and it looks like they're having fun together and they're good friends and that they're having fun being in a band. And so again, we got to get out there and buy their stuff on Bandcamp or their own website. And it was so cool of them just to call in too and give us a shout out. So
yeah. Great. We're pro fun on this podcast, right?
Exactly. Mine is the proto martyr. That's right. Fun in a different way.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So Reese had the complete organ dominated track, and then Jeremiah had the kind of rockin' reverby guitar thing. I think this one's a little slower, but probably a little more guitar dominated also. Number 3, 29 Grados. That one definitely has the keyboard backdrop in it too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Nice pick.
So I looked it up. Grados is degrees in Spanish. So 29 degrees, if they're referring to a temperature, that's 84 Fahrenheit. So that means we could translate this song to actually be 84 degrees, right?
I think you definitely get a better understanding of the song thanks right. to that translation.
Right. Yes. Yep. Yeah, well, it's been one of our themes lately is to try to convert Celsius to Fahrenheit and vice versa. So we were talking to Nicholas about that. So
right. Miles and kilometers, too. Are you doing that?
Right.
Yeah.
Inches and centimeters.
So, yeah, last week we learned that the body temperature, normal temperature in Celsius is 37. So if you've got like a 40, you've got a bad fever.
Right. Better go get COVID tested.
Right.
You're not doing too good if you have 40 in Fahrenheit either.
Right. Be almost freezing. Yeah. Problem is it wouldn't be cold enough to put you in cold storage to like, you know, freeze. What do they call that? Cryogenics. That's got to be like the deep freeze, right?
Yeah. I remember in like middle school, there's a rumor that Walt Disney's head was in cryogenically frozen under Disney World.
Underground?
Yeah.
In a underground freezer? There are people who have done that, and they think that they freeze their body then in, you know, 100 years or 200 years or whatever, they'll figure out how to keep people alive, and they'll unfreeze them. They'll come back to life. Seems a little bit unlikely to me that that will actually happen.
Like it's a little. People just like fridges a little too much. You focus on that.
Wasn't there a thing? Just speaking of like people freezing, wasn't there a fad a few years ago where people would go into these deep freeze things, like just like shock therapy, sort of? Like you'd go into the thing and it'd be like,
still a thing, I think.
It'd be like, you know, whatever, 50 below zero or 100 below zero, and you'd just stand in there for like a minute.
Ice baths are still used. I think a lot of athletes like do that.
There's
a whole movement by some guy when I think he's Dutch or something that's all about that, like, you know, extreme cold temperatures and how it's good for your body or good for your health or something.
One of my friends in Wisconsin, I think, is part of that same fad of like, if you take a cold shower every morning, you're like more productive for the rest of the day. And that's an interesting thing to be obsessed with.
Yeah.
Right.
I did get an ice bath one time when I ran a road race and got overheated. I got heat exhaustion and I was getting sick and I was really hot. So they're like, I go into the medical tent. They're like, get in this bath of ice water. And I still felt terrible. And I still my temperature still didn't want to come down. So I got taken to the hospital and got IVs.
Damn.
Yeah. There, that was my adventure.
That's some dedication there.
Yeah. It wasn't really dedication. Let me
test you on your Spanish, right? With the Melenas?
I'm not going to do well on the test.
Well, at least these are pretty easy. How about like like Laura, she plays the batería. So what's a batería?
I would guess bass.
It's a B, so is it bass?
No, not the bass. So one out of that's 20
drums.
Drums, yeah, like to,
because you bat them.
Right,
right?
You bat them.
Yeah,
beat on them, bat them. And then, well, then what is bass
in Spanish? Bass
or
guitar.
I could say, I gave it away. Right, I should have done it the other way. Bass would just be like lower, so bajo. What's her name? The lady that plays the bass, Lere, plays bajo y vas, right? So bass and vocals. What's the teclado? It would be playing out of that, what they're playing on stage. We're getting narrowing.
I guess it,
down. It
has to be the keyboard.
Right, exactly. There we go. So then all that's left is the guitarra, right? The guitar.
Okay, that one's a little easier to translate.
Exactly.
I think we need more Spanish lessons.
There we go. Yeah, we could do the Will's Spanish word of the week.
I think that's a good idea. I think me and Jeremiah, we're going to have our own podcast, and it's going to be exclusively Spanish and disco.
Right. Oh, my God. Spanish disco. Oh, my gosh.
That's not quite like Spanish techno, right? The famous new pornographer's song.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's our best song, right? That's like some bands, it's like they have a best song, and that's that Sing Me Spanish Techno is the best song by the new pornographer's. Gonna declare
I like
that.
That song. It's a good one.
Yep. Okay, three bands. Three for three. Unless you require happy music, then we're only two for three. But but I'm gonna call it three for three. I'm never gonna give thumbs down to a Protomartyr album.
Really solid, yeah. And even you know, the Protomartyr was, like you said, it's a little like more challenging listen than maybe the other albums, but I think it's really, the more I listen to it, the more I'm appreciating it. It's for sure.
Yeah, I think three great albums all together. Some really good work here.
Yeah, that's a way to phrase it, Reese. Now you got it right.
Exactly.
Three great albums. So we're thinking about next week doing a vault special and having multiple albums from the past, old albums. And I've got one in mind, and I'm really excited about it because it's my – here, I'll give a little clue. It's from 1984, And it is my favorite album from 1984, probably. Although I'm not looking at a list of 1984 albums. There are a lot of good ones. But it's probably my favorite one from that year. And yeah, just a great, great album. So look forward to that. And we'll have probably, hopefully, three of us on picking some old stuff. And then coming up, exciting things coming up. The new Fontaines DC album is coming out next week. So maybe in a couple weeks, we'll talk about that. Very excited to listen to that. Among other things, so far the musicians have kept it up, right? They've kept the, you know, these. This is, of course, an album recorded well before the COVID thing hit. So maybe there's going to be a slowdown, but so far, still a lot of great music out there.
Yeah, there's been some great stuff so far. So keep it up, people. We got to, hopefully all the musicians can stay afloat. Keep rolling.
Yeah.
Buy their stuff on Bandcamp.
Support your local artists. Buy merch.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Support Reese and his friends out in Portland. All the
You don't have to support
the
me.
Cool art people. Should we be trying to get people to send you money, Reese? Maybe we should.
Should get them to send me a Reesegraph.
Yeah, Reese is trying to get this this printer, this old vintage printer from the 80s, right? Called a Reesegraph.
Oh wow.
Yes. I don't know how to explain how Reesegraphs work to you, but it's like if you had a screen printer inside a basic scanner, I guess. I don't know how to describe it, but Reesegraphs are great. So if any Will's Ben of the Week, I'm gonna use your influence. If anyone has a Reesegraph they want to send to me, you know, I'll gladly take it off your hands.
Yeah,
or if you have any printing equipment,
you've been you've been looking for one of these for about a month now, and the big obstacle seems to be that the thing is about half the size of your apartment, and people don't readily ship them because they're so big and heavy. So, keep looking. There may be one out there.
One day I'll find one.
Yeah, those look super cool. Wow, I'd never heard of it before. It's really great.
Yeah, I hadn't until Reese told me about it, so.
If you need any print history, you know, I got you covered there.
Yeah. Nice, there we go. Spanish disco and print history.
Yeah.
Combined. In case
Goya and all sorts of fun stuff.
Exactly.
In case they haven't figured it out yet, Reese is a printmaking major, right?
Yeah.
So
printmaking major.
And you're gonna make some prints today, right?
Yeah,
for the protest people.
I don't want to date this podcast, but it's being recorded on the 25th, and I'm going to be making some posters for the protests going on. And I think a lot of protests are happening today in support of Portland. And I know it's not you're not going to hear it today, but if you hear this and you like my dad or me or Jeremiah, I hope you support the Black Lives Matter movement, and I hope you can contribute to that in any way you can.
Definitely.
There you go.
This year is really, you know, it's got challenges, but I think it can be, you know, also hopefully very transformative. So hopefully this is some of the good parts of this difficult year coming out, you know, throughout the country.
Yeah.
Yep. Sure hope so. All right. Thanks both of you guys. It's time to say goodnight and play the closing music. So we'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.